Shalom lekol ha'chaverim
v'chaverot. Hello to all the friends in Israel and the whole world. We're studying the Zohar. We're drawing the surrounding lights. We're ascending towards the connection. Let's hear some from Rav about rising to the connection. In the study of the Zohar, the main thing is to feel ourselves as being together. As we learn of the students of Rabbi Shimon who wrote the Zohar, when they were connected together above the bad forces that were revealed in them, and when they reached an ascension in their connection over all the forces that would separate them, that would create hatred, where they wanted to burn each other, then they would attain that which they wrote. So let's try as well, on the corporeal level, try to be connected as they were above the forces of evil in us. We don't have those really. We only have indifference because we don't yearn for connection, so we cannot discover the force that comes against connection. So let's yearn for connection so much that the negative force is revealed, the hatred, until we get to Har Sinai, Mount Sinai, mountain of hatred. And then we'll have truly some work to do to ascend it until it becomes the mountain of the Lord and the temple that we can build on the summit, our mutual common vessel. Well, let's try. That's what we need to think about as we read the book. Yes, so we know what to think about as we read the book. Let's begin reading. We are reading the book of Zohar. And the land was Tohu, chaos, part 1, item 22. The stones are punctured and moist. Stones in caves from which the water is constantly flowing, as though from a spring. They are called moist stones, since they are lying on a spring, blocking it. For this reason, the water comes out through the holes in those stones, constantly dripping through their faces. Those stones, which are called Bohu, are also punctured and moist, as they are established with a screen that raises reflected light, like most moist stones that always extract water, rather exude water from themselves. Bohu means moist stones, which are strong rocks. They are called moist stones because water is coming out of them. This is why the Zohar called the screen a fountain. These stones hang in the air because when Bohu is not established with a screen for coupling by striking, the stones are regarded as descending and sinking in the carving of the Tohu, which is the restriction and the force of judgment. However, the Bohu here is corrected with a coupling by striking and is therefore regarded as raised above the carving of the Tohu and is in the air in light of Chassadim. This is so Because although Malchut cannot receive the direct light, she can receive reflected light. And that reflected light raises her in the air. The moist stones, which are the Malchut, that is corrected with a screen, rose from the sinking of the Tohu and were hung in the air, emerging from the darkness and receiving light of Chassidim. It was said in the book of creation, quote, 10 and not 9, end quote. For it is impossible that because of the restriction in the screen that was established in Malchut, Malchut remained completely empty of light and is not included in the 10 Sefirot. It is not so, because she receives her illumination from reflected light that she raises from below upward. That reflected light also extends into Malchut, because reflected light is the light of Chassadim, on which there was no restriction. This is why Malchut, as well, is regarded as a complete Sfira, like the first 9. Hence, they are 10, and not 9. Sometimes the moist stones are hanging in the air because they rise from there, from the carving of the Tohu. And sometimes, on a cloudy day, they hide and raise water from the deep to nourish Tohu with them. Explanation. When the lower ones are worthy and engage in Torah and good deeds to raise man, they correct the Malchut with a screen and a coupling by striking. She extends direct light from above downward and clothes the direct light with her reflected light from below upward. At that time, Bohu, the moist stones, are hanging in the air because they ascend from there upwards, since the reflected light that the moist stones raise elevates them from the carving of Tohu, lifting them in the air, the light of Chassadim. However, when the lower ones corrupt their works, the correction of the screen that was made on Malchut is corrupted, and she is unfit for a coupling by striking with the upper light. Then it is considered that the light departs, and it became like a cloudy day when the sun is not shining. Then the moist stones disappear once more inside the carving of the Tohu. Malchut descends to the carving of Tohu and hides on the cloudy day, eliciting water out of the deep, which are judgments, and sustains the Tohu with those waters. She strengthens the Tohu when she fears his Gvurot. With that, the lower ones repent and improve their works. This is the meaning of the words, quote, and God made it that he would be feared, end quote. At that time, there is joy and there is folly, since the Tohu has spread in the world. On the one hand, there is joy, by which the lower ones repent and the mochin are drawn, and there is joy in the worlds. But on the other hand, there is folly, because the tohu, chaos, has spread in the world, and the spirit of folly increases, the spirit of shells and judgments, by the expansion of the tohu. And let's again be refreshed, getting some guidance for the intention from Rav about how each day a person can see himself as coming out of Egypt. Rav, each day one must see that he himself came out of Egypt, because all of our work is with respect to Egypt. Before Egypt, all the work begins with Avraham. Avraham, it's a tiny little dot, the inception of Kedusha, holiness, quality of Chesed. But he has no, it's the highest point in the body of the soul, but it has no coarseness. If there's no coarseness, how can he advance? So his question is, how will I establish my vessel? I'm just a dot without volume. How can I reach the Creator? How can I reach you? You say that I need to acquire from you all this great light which I need to integrate. How will I even acquire it? How will I know that I will inherit it? And then what is he told? You'll go for 400 years, meaning 4 degrees, the will to receive has 4 degrees, and all of it, all of you, will enter into that will to receive, you'll acquire it. That egoistic will to receive is built exactly in a way that's compatible with the light, that's what the Creator tells him. And then, don't worry, you'll be integrated with that desire which is exactly opposite the light. First of all, be included in it, enter into it, identify with it, connect with it. You'll be inside it, and then gradually you'll discover that you are above it, outside of it. And that is coming out, the exit from it. But after you exit it, you've already acquired it before. And by exiting it, you can begin to then draw from it to you these discernments which are not corrected yet. These 400 discernments, you'll gradually extract them. And then you'll have great property, meaning great property with respect to the shattered vessels from Egypt. You get those. And then the property which is my inheritance, the inheritance of the land, as we call it. And this is how it goes through to the end of correction. When you correct this Pharaoh, bestow in order to bestow, then receive in order to bestow, you reach all the way through to the end of correction. So from the first preliminary point, Abraham, through to Egypt, that's, and there's the advancement towards Egypt, and then in Egypt itself, you're drowned, how to say? Yes, well, he's drowned there in the will to receive, immersed, and then coming out of it, and then the correction of that great will of Pharaoh through to the end of correction. So it all revolves around Egypt, either before or after, but Egypt is the main point. And therefore, each day one must remember, think about, feel that he is right now coming out of Egypt. What does it mean to right now come out of Egypt? Well, every day, it cannot be a day for you if you don't take something from that vessel that you acquired from Pharaoh, scrutinize it, fix it, correct it, and then you have a new day, new light, which is called day. You won't have a day if not thanks to the correction of what you now discover from your own Egypt. And so all the degrees are like that. Yes, all of the degrees are those of coming out of Egypt. Let's continue. 23. Darkness is the black fire that is strong in color. It is so because no color can rule and change the black color. It is red fire, which is strong in sight, since the red color is more conspicuous to the eye than all the colors. It is also a green fire, strong in depiction, because the perfection of every depiction is by the green color. It is also a white fire, the root color of all the colors. Once the Zohar explained Tohu and Vohu, it explains darkness. There are several appellations to the ten Sefirot. Chub Tum, their names change according to their matter and according to their action. From their perspective of the Yesodot, the Sefirot are called Chub Tum, Chuchma Bina Tiferet Malchut, water, fire, wind, and dust. From the perspective of the screen and the Malchuyot, Malchuts in the Sefirot, Chub Tum are called four colors: white, red, green, and black. From the perspective of the relation of the rest of the Sefirot to the colors that come from the Malchuyot, they are called Chub Tum, inclusive, a sight, a depiction, and color. As a whole, the first restriction is ascribed to the Sefira of Chokhmah, and the second restriction to the Sefira of Bina, because the second restriction rose only up to the place of Bina, and not at all to the Chokhmah above her. Hence, the Chokhmah remained in the first restriction, and in that respect, Yesod of the Sefira of Chokhmah is considered water, implying that there are no restriction or judgment there. Yesod of the Sefira of Bina is considered to be fire, from which all the judgments awaken. Therefore, the Zohar explains that the Tohu is water and snow, because it is the first restriction. The darkness, which is the second restriction, the Zohar explains as fire, as it is attributed to Bina, fire. It is therefore clarified why darkness is regarded as fire. And now we shall explain the Chub Tum, called four colors. The Chub Tum, called the inclusive, sight, depiction, and color. The colors come from the screen in Malchut, from the coupling by striking in her, which raises ten Sefirot Chub Tum from below upward, called Rosh, and ten Sefirot Chub Tum from above downward, called Guf, which were painted in colors below. Only in the ten Sefirot from above downward, called Guf, body, did the four colors Chub Tum come out, and not in the ten Sefirot of Rosh, head or beginning, since the colors come from Malchut, and since she is the reason for the Chub Tum of Guf, they were painted in colors. But in the Rosh, which is below it, the judgment in it cannot rise above the place where it is present. Hence, Chub Tum of the ten Sefirot of Rosh are called inclusive, vision, depiction, and color. The Chokhmah is only the inclusive and root. It does not even contain the sight of the colors. In Bina, there is sight. In Tiferet, there is a depiction, a painting, which is closer to a color, but a real color exists only in Malchut of Rosh. Since, because color is judgment, it cannot rise above its place. These four discernments in Chub Tum of Rosh show their power and dominion also in the four colors, white, red, green, and black, in Chub Tum of Guf. This is why darkness is a black fire, which is strong in color, since Malchut of Guf is regarded as a black color, and her special force extends to her in Chub Tum of Rosh. This is why her governance in color is strong, for she does not suffer any changes by the rest of the colors. The red fire is strong in sight, meaning the Bina of Guf in the red color. Her governance is great in the sight that she receives from Chub Tum of Rosh. A green fire is strong in depiction, Tiferet of Guf, which is the color green. Her governance is great in the painting received from Chub Tum of Rosh. White fire is the root color of all colors, the Chokhmah of Guf in the white color. It contains all of them, because it receives governance from Chub Tum of Rosh and becomes the root of all the colors in the Guf as well. Darkness is strong in all the kinds of fire. It attacks the Tohu because it includes the power of judgment of all four fires in Binah. This is why the darkness attacks and overcomes the Malchut of the Tohu, as it removes the power of judgment of Tohu from Malchut and sweetens her with the quality of mercy in her. Since initially the Bina absorbs the Malchut of Tohu into her, and then that Malchut becomes the quality of mercy in her.
Matkif
attacks means that he fights with it in order to subdue it. It attacks the Tohu, meaning overcomes the Tohu and removes the power of judgment from it. Darkness is fire that carries four colors. It is not black fire, but only when it attacks the Tohu. Since darkness is actually Bina, who is called fire, Chub Tum in her are clothed in the four colors, white, red, green, and black, which are not black fire. It is called darkness, which means black fire. It is called so only during its act of attacking the Tohu, mitigating it with the quality of mercy in it. As it is written, quote, "And his eyes were dim, so he could not see, and he called Esav," end quote. Since Yitzchak, Isaac, is Bina, since the fathers are Chabad. When he wished to subdue Esav, he had to partake with the Malchut, and by that his eyes were dimmed. For Bina herself was diminished due to her participation with Malchut in a black fire. Then he called Esav, the power of judgment in the Tohu, to subdue him under the Kedusha, under holiness. Thus, during Bina's action to subdue the Tohu, she is regarded as black fire. The face of evil is darkness. Yitzchak, who welcomed the evil, Esav, was called darkness then, for he was on him to attack him. Here it explains the text, quote, and his eyes were dim, end quote. Since Yitzchak welcomed Esav, who is bad, hence the face of an evil one, which is darkness, jumped on him. He welcomed Esav because he was on him to attack him. For by being on him, he was attacking and subduing him. And because he was on the evil at that time, he was called darkness. This is evidence that Binah is called darkness only when she acts to sweeten the power of judgment from Tohu of Malchut. For then she is necessarily on the Tohu to subdue it. And because of that, she is darkened and becomes a black fire. Now is exactly the time to hear about this Gulat, unique power of connection. The Book of Zohar tells us of all the conditions, all the states that we go through. Absolutely every single one. It was written by a group who achieved the complete connection. Therefore, they achieved the end of correction, or the 125 degrees. And so, if we read what they wrote, from that we get the strong, great reforming light, the greatest. That is the perfect medicine. You know, you have these kind of cures, these kind of medicines, you know, but this one is medicine that is sure to work and help. And they wrote it with the intention of the end of correction, meaning it goes opposite, well, not opposite, but different to all the other compositions. This composition is written for our days and is aimed straight at us, which is also written in the Zohar itself. So that's how we have to receive it and use it. So it doesn't matter if we understand or don't understand. It doesn't matter the extent to which we know what's written. As a principle, if you open this book, and it doesn't matter what you read exactly, if you intend that by this you want to receive a force which will promote you towards connection, rising above the ego, towards coming out of your skin, right? Love your friend as yourself. Then the reading of the Kabbalah books and the Zohar especially is beneficial, meaning it's beneficial on the condition that you want to be in that. And even if you don't want to be in that, because each one of us is, how can he know for certain, yes or no? And if you don't, then it acts upon you in an opposite way. And then you begin to be between states, these states, those states, and like that. On the one hand. On the other, if you don't have the correct intention, but if it's absolutely the wrong intention, right, you don't want to rise above the ego, you don't want to connect at all, then it acts upon you in a way where it's as the elixir of death. You don't understand anything of it, you don't feel anything, you begin to imagine all sorts of forms. It seems to you that you understand, you begin to interpret it in a very mundane corporeal way. And that is now a serious problem. Thank you, friends, all who were with us. Let's continue learning and connecting.